Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Talawi. It's been 2 weeks since we talked. I was out last Saturday, and a lot had happened since last Saturday. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Of course, as usual, we want to hear from you. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we will be tackling a couple of issues. In the first hour, we will have Tomislav Sonik. He is a former United States professor. He is a native of Croatia. He wrote a book. The name of that book is Homos Americanos. Very interesting book, and it says a lot about what we to expect in the next coming years. It's an excellent research that Dr. Tomislav Sonik had done. And you can get his book from Amazon's and et cetera, but we will be going to him shortly. It's an interesting subject that he will be discussing about America. His book is all about America, where it was, where it is, and where it is heading. Well, one thing where it is heading is definitely a question that all of us, we need to understand. Something happened, ladies and gentlemen, on May 9th, 2007, that not too many people were aware of. Definitely the mainstream media did not cover. And we will also, in the second hour, I see people already sending me messages if we are going to talk about what is happening in Lebanon. Definitely we will, probably in the second hour. And again, I welcome your phone calls. But what we're going to talk about first is what happened on May 9th. Well, King George Bush, he signed a presidential directive. It is called the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive. Very much it says that in the event of a catastrophic event, George Bush will very much become a king, a dictator. We always talked about since probably 2001, we have talked about that this country is headed towards a dictatorship, a fascist state. And it already happened in a very clever way that, interestingly enough, mainstream media is keeping this important presidential directive under its wings until it becomes a reality. When we come back, I will tell you exactly what this presidential directive is. It very much gives George Bush absolute power in the United States. We will be right back.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold and the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, and let's get down to exactly what that presidential directive is all about, and then we will go to our guest to talk to him about his book and also get his opinion about this particular presidential directive. It is called, again, the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive. It was signed May 9th, and unfortunately, our Congress did not really say much about it. Very much what it boils down to is President Bush, in case of a catastrophe or a catastrophic event, very much is the absolute leader of the of our government. And also, with this thing bypassing the United States Congress, and very much obliterating the separation of powers. The directive also very much puts the Secretary of Homeland Security in charge of the security in the country. So, this directive, actually, it says that this directive establishes a comprehensive national policy on the continuity of federal government structures and operations in a single national continuity coordinator responsible for coordinating the development and implementation of federal continuity policy. This policy establishes national essential functions, prescribes continuity requirement for all executive departments and agencies, and provides guidance for state, local, territorial and tribal government and private sector organizations in order to ensure a comprehensive and integrated national continuity program that will enhance the credibility of our national security posture and enable a more rapid and effective response to and recovery from a national emergency. So very much a catastrophic emergency, ladies and gentlemen, means any incident, and this is coming out of the directive itself, any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the United States population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions. So any incident that might take place where there is a substantial loss of life, just like what happened on 2001 or what happened during Katrina, or if anything that happens, if anything happens on the Mexican borders, if anything happens, let's say somebody, a group of militia in Idaho or any place that, let's say, decide to take the law into their own hands, and even though it could be an infiltrated groups and whatever incident took place was manufactured by our government, that directive very much gives the president the absolute power to decide for local, state, and even private organizations what issue and how to solve that particular issue. So very much, ladies and gentlemen, we have entered into a dictatorship type of government. We are just waiting for something to happen, anything to happen, so it will very much get this particular presidential directive into action, and the president becomes the sole representative of America. One man. Well, we will talk about this also with our guest, and we will talk about it in the second hour. But let me introduce my guest for the first hour. He is Tomislav Sonich. He is a former United States professor, author, a translator, and a former Croat diplomat. He did his undergraduate work in literature and languages in Europe. He obtained his doctoral degree in political science at the University of California. He wrote a book recently. The name of that book is Homo Americanos. In this book, he describes the origins and dynamics of America's founding myths, quoting and translating from many long-forgotten or suppressed sources from the fields of literature, history, anthropology, and philosophy. The book represents an interdisciplinary compendium dealing with the topic of Americanism. Let's see if we can figure out exactly what Americanism is all about. The genealogy of early Calvinists, Puritanism mixed with the techno-scientific religion of boundless economic progress and legally veiled in the obscure para-biblical and Jewish-inspired sense of political self-chosenness. Let's go to our guest. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello. Can you hear me well?
Can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Yes, sir. Dr. Sonich, tell me what is your book is all about and why would a Croat write a book about America?
Well, I guess in one way or another, we are all Americans, aren't we? Whether we like it or not, and there are certainly good points about America and Americanism. There are also some bad points about this. But be it as it may, even folks who criticize America, even those who resent America, must concede, must admit the fact that we are all Americans. So I myself consider myself not just legally an American citizen, but also spiritually. But at the same time, it doesn't prevent me from being critical towards America. In fact, I don't want to go into epic lengths, but we have to admit that some of the most severe critics of America and American ideology were Americans themselves. I don't want to just drop the names, but take, for instance, Ezra Pound, Yockey, take, for instance, Mencken. They were all very critical about the American way of life, American foreign policy as well. Take, for instance, Christopher Lash, who was a great author also, who wrote a couple of books about Americanism and this distorted phenomenon of self, of narcissism in the American system. And whether we like it or not, Americanism in this pejorative sense has spread to all corners of the world, including to its former enemies in ex-communist Eastern Europe and Russia. Can you still hear me good? Hello? Can you hear me well? Hello?
Yes, yes, we hear you very well. We hear you well.
Sure.
Tom, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you very well, but I'm just wondering, am I being cut off, or is there a good line?
Oh, yes, 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 we have. We hear you clear, loud, and clear. Now, tell me exactly the core of the book. You know, you are talking about America in the past and America of today, and you are very much drawing parallels between America and communist regimes. Tell me where the parallel exists.
Oh, yes. Well, just in a few words, the book is very comprehensive in its topic. Of course, I'm devoting almost half of the book to the comparison between the Soviet man, if I can put it metaphorically, and the American man, and be it as it may, I do see quite a few of parallels, particularly in terms of censorship and the self-censorship, which is quite prominent nowadays in the United States. I'm also drawing the attention to this phenomenon of, as I call it, the religion of progress, this constant progress, this constant imagination that future must unfold and it must eventually end up in a paradise and a promiscuous sort of a ecumenical, multicultural world where everybody will love each other. So this is one of the main parallels that I'm drawing between the former Soviet system and the American system. And at the same time, I'm also giving some specific examples where freedom of speech, where, for instance, also this thought police, as we call it in Europe, or used to call back in communist system, is now prevalent also in the United States, particularly in academia. And now, of course, I'm basically focusing on academia. For instance, you have gender studies. You have, for instance, ethnic quota, which is called affirmative action. This is exactly the system I went through when I was a kid, and this was exactly what was going on in the Soviet Union. And now, by and large, of course, you have more and more academic, I don't want to call it censorship, but it is self-censorship. I know myself, and I don't want to quote their names, some very big academics in the United States of America who have to resort to some very bizarre meta-language, so to speak, some veiled formulas and escapades in order to hide their style and their syntax, in order not to say, in other words, they have to constantly make disclaimers in order to preserve their career and their turf, if I can put it somewhat brutally. And this is what I find very, very unnerving and quite dangerous, to put it quite frankly, because dictatorship wrongly does not necessarily mean a truncheon or throwing people into jail or just beating them like the communists did in a vulgar fashion. Totalitarianism has its softer methods. It can put people, it can shut them up, and it can discredit them, it can defame them, it can libel them. There are different methods which I fear can be brought with this new technology to their perfection.
Now, Tom, tell me why multiculturalism is coming up. Break, and we welcome your phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. The number is 800-313-9443. We will be right back.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran.
He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm speaking with Professor Tom Sunic from Zagreb in Croatia. We're discussing his book, Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age. Professor Sunic, you mentioned multiculturalism, and in your book, you draw parallels between those who immigrated to the United States way back from Europe, and you mentioned that those Europeans very much cut off loyalty to their motherland, and now we are faced with a new wave of immigrants from South America and other places around the world, that these people are not cutting off all loyalties and their belongings to their motherland. Is that a fair description of what is taking place now? And why are you seeing multiculturalism as a negative thing for America?
Okay. I know this is a very tricky topic. And let me put aside what I would like normatively, what I would like to see in the ideal world. But we have enough empirical data which tells us that multi-ethnic, let's call them multiracial entities, never last for a long period of time. I guess at the time being, we can take Iceland or we can take Japan, which are fairly homogenous, racially or ethnically homogenous countries, which last very well and which have no internal disputes. On the other hand, I'm sorry to say that, and this is not supposed to be a disclaimer. I'm just trying to be as real as possible. Multi-ethnic countries like take, for instance, firsthand Yugoslavia. It was a make-believe country where people had were forced, so to speak, to utter slogans where they had to pretend to be in favor of other ethnic groups in the vicinity. And yet at the same time, they resented them. So there was this constant spiral of mutual suspicion, which is very typical for multi-ethnic and multi-racial countries. Now, once again, I'm not trying to make my own value judgments, because I've been thinking and writing about this phenomenon of multiculturalism for a long period of time, and I can't come up with the right decision. But the fact of the matter is that America, as of nowadays, is certainly less homogenous, it is much more atomized, it is very individualistic, and there is much more suspicion now being created among different ethnic groups. What America had once in common, particularly in the 19th century, even prior to the Civil War, was its European roots. Now, this European roots has been watered down for a variety of reasons. And I'm not saying this was good or bad. I'm just stating the fact. And now the fact is that many, many foreign immigrants who come to this country are just losing that the sense of belonging to this country. Let me just move to...
You're saying that you're not saying if it's good or bad, but it sounds like you're saying it's bad.
Well, it does, unfortunately. Let me put it, if I may, I can just swerve a little bit to a different direction. Why do people make walls? Why, for instance, do we have the Chinese Wall? Why did Hadrian build a wall in what's nowadays the United Kingdom? Why, for instance, are the Israelis building up the wall? Let's leave aside the judgments. The fact of the matter is that two different ethnic groups, two different racial groups, if you wish, or two different historical mythologies, if you wish, two different historical verities, for millions of reasons, never function well. The reason I'm telling you that, there are great people in Israel, I'm quite certain, and there are great people in Palestine as well, very intelligent, like Edward Said, whom I read very much. There's also Israel Shamir, a good colleague of mine who is Jewish, and for that matter, other Jews that I know. But for some reasons, when you get them together, they will not find a common approach. It will be very, very difficult for them to be objective. The same thing you can reproach to me. You can tell me. Finally, a Serbian intellectual and Croatian intellectual, they will very rarely agree on those things. And this is what I find very tragic. So my answer, if I can just put it very simply, and I'm sorry if I sound brutal, it is far better to build walls. It is far better to look for a divorce than live in a quote-unquote make-believe conviviality. And yet, in the back of your mind, you harbor your bad feelings, and you think, oh, I'm going to kill that person. I'm going to seek revenge against him. This is a never-ending spiral. So what I'm basically saying, it's far better, you know, for be it the white Americans or, for that matter, be they the Germans, and who have 7 million now immigrants in their country. It is better for them to live separately than forcing them into something which will eventually result in a disaster. That's what I'm trying. Okay, let me put it just in one sentence. In order to prevent racism and all what accompanies racism, like violence and all this, we have to look at the causes of it. We have to look at some anthropological studies. Why do people stick to their turf? I know from first hand that multi-ethnic marriages never last long. They last for a while, but after that they don't. So we should call to our service some sociobiologists, some geneticists as well. They can help us out. This is a very heavy topic. I think that America is now pretty much in decline precisely because of this wild immigration policy, which is also leading to what we have just mentioned about this dictatorial power now being assumed by Bush.
What you are saying, I'll tell you what, I hear the music. We have a break coming up.
Sure, I'm sorry.
But what I'm going to ask you when we come back from the break is you're talking about the seeds of eventually breaking up the country. Hold on to that thought, and we will discuss that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. The number is 800-313-9443.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
From the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we have an interesting discussion with Professor Tom Cernich discussing his book, Homo Americanos. Tom, if we look at the demographics of the United States now, we see very much that the southern part of the country, especially we're talking like, for instance, Florida, or if we look at other states in the South and in the West, like California, for instance, Los Angeles, is very much becoming the demography is changing and changing rapidly. And from what I understand you, if I understand you correctly, that very much singles out trouble for the United States. Are we seeing the seeds of the breaking up of the country here? Is that what you are talking about?
I'm not talking, hopefully this is not going to be the case with the United States of America, but I do definitely see some seeds of balkanization. Let me just be perfectly clear on that.
Well, balkanization it ended up breaking up the countries there, so.
Well, this is unfortunately what happened to to Yugoslavia twice in this century. And this is not the only place on Earth. In fact, I don't want to sound too rhetorical, but the fact of the matter is that show me any country on Earth, a multi-ethnic, multi-racial country on Earth, where peace and conviviality really lasts for a long period of time. Look at India. There are sporadic troubles between different tribes, different ethnic groups. In Africa, this is almost a basket basket case, we can say, not in a pejorative fashion, right? The way of life.
Is it too late? I mean, is there anything that can be done about this, or
of
is it too late?
Of course it can be done, but it's certainly first and foremost the country needs to the United States of America, which is very dear in a sense to me. It has to strengthen its identity. In other words, it has to redefine its identity. What exactly is America's identity? And it seems to me that the governing elite, the ruling elite, is not certain about this at all.
What is America's identity, Tom?
Well, that's precisely, that's not for me to decide, but I'd certainly like to, because given what the founding fathers, and I'm not talking about the Calvinists, who are not my cup of tea, but rather the secular, the Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine, it seems to me that this European roots of the United States of America needs to be reemphasized again, or at least it has to be said explicitly, what is America all about? We also have the antebellum South. And there are some great thinkers that I'm quite familiar with of antebellum South who also had their version of American democracy, which unfortunately did not square away with the version of Abraham Lincoln. And that's why the country almost, you know, collapsed in a sense. Nowadays we have a different form of semi-collapsing. I'm not talking about the military collapse. But what I would like to stress definitely, I just want to make sure we're on the same wavelength as far as the understanding of concepts is concerned. Multiculturalism inevitably leads to mutual suspicion, like what you have now in California or what you have in Florida. It's not just simplistic scenario, dualistic scenario, whites against white against black. You have shadings in between. You have different ethnic groups who victimize themselves, who consider themselves, who project themselves as victims. And then as a result, this is a never-ending spiral of claims and counterclaims. Some blacks or some cholos or some Chicanos, whoever, they may wonder, oh, why do I get more? Why do those Jews get less? Or why do those Jews get more? Why do I do get less? And why do those, for instance, those Cuban of European extraction, why do they get more? And why do those blacks from Jamaica get less? You understand what I'm trying to say? This artificial scenario of hatred, just like in former Yugoslavia, is being created, and even among so-called intellectuals. When this, actually, the war here in ex-Yugoslavia did not start on the ground. It first started among intellectuals because the Serbs came up with their victimology. They were talking about the Second World War, and they were exaggerating the figures of their, in fact, exaggerating about the war debt and so on. The Croats had their own. So it's simply senseless. It's not worth the trouble to discuss who is right and wrong, because everybody, every ethnic group will pursue its own verity. And what I'm saying, this is what I fear most for America, because people lose then the sense of citizenship.
Tom, stay with me. We're going to go to the phones and get some of the our opinions and questions from the audience. Let's go to John in Tennessee. Go ahead, John.
Thank you both very much for taking my call. The reason I called, and I believe this goes along with the lines the professor was talking about, when we allow, and I'm not anti-immigration, but when we allow immigration basically without assimilation, and we realize that as people come into our country, and I use that as yours and mine and whoever's here legally, when they come into our country, they naturally bring with them customs and religions and traditions and their ways. And as they acquire a vote, or they go about in making changes to our political system, then we eventually will lose this country. And Thomas Jefferson warned about this, talking about unbridled immigration. And I wonder if that's basically what the professor is speaking about, that when we drop the gates and we allow people to come in, and we allow America to become something other than it was originally, and we don't require those who gain citizenship to necessarily assimilate, how can we help but lose our country? How can it not become something foreign to us?
Very good. Tom?
Yes. Well, thank you, gentlemen from Tennessee. I'm glad he raised this question. I am pretty much familiar, and I hope the gentleman is also familiar with those great Tennessee scholars, the 12 Southerners, and their manifesto that they wrote in the early 30s, I'll Take My Stand. Now, it may sound a little bit archaic and pathetic to talk about this right now, but this is exactly what they were talking about 70, 80 years ago. And I guess this heritage, this cultural heritage of those Southerners needs to be resuscitated again. And I'm glad that you're raising this question, but then again, look, it's not as easy as it appears. To a great extent, let's be quite open. Let's be perfectly open. It's not just the Jews or the Jewish lobby and the IPAC who have watered down the quote-unquote the European citizenship and who have had their interest to water down the European hold in America, but it's also the Christian Church, especially the Catholic Church, preaching ecumenism, preaching this conviviality. This is what the actual Pope is doing as well. So it seems to me the problems are much more profound than they really appear. We have to examine ourselves. After all, doesn't the Catholic Church also preach you have to be nice to your brethren, and you have to be nice to your neighbors? It seems to me the problem of multiculturalism can be addressed from different perspectives, not just anthropological, but also religious perspective. But I'm glad I agree with the gentleman, we got to be careful with this immigration, because after all, not just in America, actually, in Europe is the replica of America. You got 20 million non-Europeans, mostly from non-European countries, who have settled over the last 40 years in Europe. They've radically changed the whole structure of Paris or Frankfurt or London. If you visit those places, it's just like in L.A. I'm not saying this is bad or good. This is just the way of life. But I do frequently ask myself, what do those people feel for the destiny of the country? How do they actually empathize? How do, for instance, those Pakistanis or Indians, whom I may appreciate, certainly, what do they think about this Edinburgh? What do they think about this Victorian architecture? How do they empathize with this country? Do they feel something? Do they have a sense of loyalty? Of course, these are legitimate questions that cross my mind, and I'm quite certain a gentleman from Memphis or from Tennessee is perfectly legitimate in asking those questions.
You know, I think, you know, we keep saying immigration, but I think it's more of an invasion than immigration.
Well, again, this is the government is responsible for that, for the stupid, and in particular, I'll be quite open with you, as I once was. I think it's just the American capitalist, those guys, actually white people who live high on the hog, who are bringing in here cheap labor, and I've met quite a few of those hypocritical guys, I can tell you. On the one hand, they talk, they're proud of racial and white pride and all this stuff, and yet at the same time, they hire cheap labor from Mexico and from Guatemala, and they pay them nothing for it. So those who need to be to blame first are not the immigrants. This is my first and foremost statement. Those who need to be blamed are rich capitalists, or call them liberals. Okay. They're the ones who bear the responsibility for this.
In your chapter, in Yahweh we trust, a divine foreign policy, you're very critical of monotheism, particularly of Judaism and Calvinism.
Yes.
The main motors of American foreign policy. How so? Is Judaism what's running the American foreign policy?
Okay, let me just say one thing. There was recently an article published in the English Guardian, which is, by the way, a very leftist and liberal journal, not to my liking, but nonetheless. And actually, this is the topic that there are literally tons of books about that. When we, for instance, blame George Bush for his more hyper-moralistic approach and his self-serving, if you wish, policy towards Iraq and some of his, even we can say, not well thought-out moves. In fact, we can trace this policy all the way to Woodrow Wilson. He was the world improver as well. In fact, I could really go into length and tell you very much about the American foreign policy since the end of since Woodrow Wilson all the way up until now. There is this strong moralistic, and I'm sure you as a Palestinian origin, you will definitely be in agreement with me. We notice among American diplomats and American intellectuals this strong moralistic approach, like you have to have a formula how you can make the world safe for democracy, how not to smoke cigarettes, how to have safe sex, how to do this and that. There is always this theological, I call it political theology. This is a good word. In fact, I'm quoting a guy who wrote a piece on American political theology. And you notice that it's a standard feature in American behavior, both domestic and foreign. Not just, it has nothing to do with George Bush. It goes back, this political theology, all the way to Boston, Massachusetts. And this is what happened after the end of the Civil War in America. Those guys, they came from the North, and they started pontificating to the Southerners, so you have to behave like this and that. That changed the books. There's a massive literature on it. But what I feel sorry about, and not just sorry, I'm angry about this. Those books are being suppressed. They are no longer read, like George Fitzhugh, a great anthropologist and great scholar from Antebellum South. Well, take Ezra Pound as well. He's not being read as well. And I don't want to quote the names, but the fact of the matter is, well, again, to put it that way, this moralistic approach, which Europeans are very well aware of, is very strong in American political behavior. And it can be traced directly to Calvinism and its secular version, its mundane versions.
Can you expand what Calvinism is all about?
Well, Calvinism is one of the, of course, it's a Christian denomination, but as you probably know, if you have read a little bit, Calvin, he actually considered himself more Jewish than the Jews themselves. In fact, Cromwell was one of his political, if I can say, executor in a sense. Cromwell, he had a major role during the English Civil War. And Cromwellites, in fact, later on in the Pilgrim Fathers, they moved to the United States in the 17th century because for a variety of reasons, England didn't accept them very, very well. So, of course, they played an immense role in America, although this is not being given due consideration in scholarly publications. Why? Because, again, as I said, when we talk about America, we talk about Jefferson and Paine, who were basically deists. They were not particularly enamored with the Bible. But those moralistic traits in American political character became quite strong, and they're still very, very strong. And you can see it in the Oval Office, and in particular among neocons as well. And we can trace it to Calvinism. We can trace it to this particular branch of Christianity, which actually, let me put it that way, unlike Catholics, who, don't get me wrong, although I'm a Catholic, I don't want to say that, I don't want to pontificate here about Catholicism, it's lost its transcendental sense. It was much more obsessed with morality and hyper-morality, and this is what Calvinism, modern Calvinism, is all about in its secular version. So even modern liberals, and I wrote about this, and you can find it in some scholarly publications, I wrote about the origins of liberalism in America. They have this strong moralistic and legalistic approach towards the human affairs, towards human drama. And they can be directly traced to the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. Hence the reason that you have, and this is not a misnomer, Christian Zionists. You have a very strong lobby in America called Christian Zionists.
Okay.
And those Christian Zionists are very strong.
Tom, we still have John with us, and he has another question. Go ahead, John.
Basically, I just had a comment to kind of close with, and that is I agree with much of what Tom has to say, but when we take into consideration what he was talking about the Oval Office, I look at that as being a false Christianity. Maybe that's why when Benjamin Franklin came out from the Continental Congress, when they were signing the Declaration of Independence, he said that they had given us a republic if we could keep it. Maybe they understood that because America at that time was a nation of immigrants, that it would be inevitable over a period of time not to lose the country because of the fact that we were a nation of immigrants, if that makes any sense.
It certainly does, John, and I agree with you, but then again, you probably didn't notice that you also made your own value judgment, because it's very hard to talk now about the religious denominations without being without having your own personal faith and without having your own personal belief. And I'm trying to stay as objective as possible. And by and large, let me tell you, if I may end up with that, even this anti-Semitism, of course we all know the Jewish lobby, we know how strong they are, and I'm particularly opposed to some of the actions of the neocons in America. I happen to know some of their pedigrees. They happen to be Marxist, and they happen to be leftist, and now, well, what a neoconservatism. Even it's a misnomer. How can you call themselves neoconservatives? Anyway, but the fact of the matter is you have to look at this religious affiliation which they had with American Calvinists. Hence the reason that they are still much more prominent in America than they are in Europe. And this whole issue of anti-Semitism, which I call a neurosis, Well, let's trace it then to Christianity. Of course, and I sympathize with the victims with Palestinians and what happens over there. Of course, I'm in favor of resolutions passed by the Security Council against Israel and all the 66 of them. But the fact of the matter is, we have to look at this common monotheistic background we actually inherited from them. So I don't want to get too philosophical, but the fact of the matter is, I disagree with those Christians who say, well, we are Europeans, but after all, is not Christianity a Levantine or Oriental religion as well? So do you understand where I'm coming from? So we have to at least examine those issues.
Very good. Thank you, John, for the call. And Tom, stay with me. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. And the number to call is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sinage about his book Homo Americanos, and we're going to go to Illinois with Mike, and also the professor will be with us in the second hour, so if you need to call you can catch him in the second hour. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you for the call.
I was just listening to the show, and the your guest, the professor, just mentioned a few minutes ago that we inherited our monotheism from Judaism. And I was calling to take issue with that because a lot of scholars agree that the first ethical monotheistic religion is Zoroastrianism, which is an ancient Persian religion. And the Jews, when they were released from Babylonian captivity, when the Persians took over and Cyrus the Great released the Jews to rebuild their temple, a lot of people say there was a significant change in the Judaism after the captivity and possibly had Zoroastrian influences. And, you know, I learned a lot about it and the idea of angels, the concept of heaven and hell, and, you know, a lot of Christian themes come from Zoroastrianism, and no one's ever heard of it. And that's where I kind of got my, you know, my old eye towards conspiracies and, you know, the truth is always hitting, it's often hidden in the corner, hiding, not out like everyone likes to see. But I just wanted to add that, you know, it's, no one's ever, not a lot of people have heard about it, but it has had a heavy influence on Judeo-Christian.
Very good, Mike. We only have a couple of minutes in the first hour. Tom?
Yes, this is a good point the gentleman just raised, and I fully agree with it. And, again, this is a very extensive topic, and I wouldn't like to bother your listeners with those religious treatises, but I would urge your listeners to consult my website and to look at some of the scholarly publications, but also some less scholarly essays that I wrote about monotheism versus polytheism for the Mankind Quarterly, for different conservative journals as well. And it's a very easy read, and of course in my new book, Homo Americanus, I'm discussing specifically about Calvinism, not just in its modern version, in its older fashion, but also in its modern secular version, where I'm tracing it, where I'm actually making links with liberalism and even communism, in a sense. The gentleman is perfectly correct. I guess it remains a mystery for me, why did we Europeans, in the first sense, accept a religion which did not originate in Europe? But after all, we should not forget that our history doesn't stretch to Anno Domini, number one, but goes further back, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. I don't want to now rave and rant about Vikings and old Teutons and so on and so forth, but the fact of the matter is, why should I not be proud of my pre-Christian past? After all, Cicerone and Tacitus, they were pagans, they were polytheists, and they had a very low opinion of Christians and Jews in the first place.
Okay.
It's a very, very heavy topic, but I certainly would be pleased to discuss about that.
Okay. Well, in the second hour, we will tackle all these issues. And also in the second hour, I want you to comment on I had Professor Kevin McDonald on the show.
Sure.
And he blamed multiculturalism immigration issue on the Jewish influence in the United States. We will be back, Tom, in about a couple of minutes, and we will start our second hour. And we welcome all your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We will be right back.
With recent